Today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. Since 1998, Stamps.com has been an indispensable tool for nearly 1 million businesses. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS shipping right to your computer. Whether you're in office sending invoices, a side hustle Etsy business, or a full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. All you need is a computer and a standard printer. No special supplies or equipment, and within minutes, you're up and running, printing official postage for any letter, any package, anywhere you want to send it. Save time and money with Stamps.com. There's no risk, and with our promo code POD, P-O-D, you get a special offer that includes a four-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in POD, P-O-D. And now, off to the episode.
Hamilton will cross the line now. He's not been headed in this qualifying session at all. He goes faster still, and the crowd absolutely love it. Big news here at Interlagos today, though. Lewis Hamilton disqualified from qualifying yesterday, sent to the back of the grid. A breach of the technical regulations regarding the DRS gap in his rear wing. And he's going to try and make that lunge, and he does make that lunge down the inside. Lewis Hamilton, that is the best move of the lot. Hamilton on Lando Norris. The crowd absolutely love that. You can hear the cheers ringing out of your TV sets. They appreciate good racing at Interlagos. They got it right there. And they say reverse grid races, Martin Brundle, would never work. Well, we've kind of had it with Lewis Hamilton and an example of it today. But it's his teammate Valtteri Bottas that is going to win out and survive the pressure from Max Verstappen. Bottas is going to pick up pole position for the Sao Paulo Grand Prix. He wins the Saturday sprint. Mercedes pick up 3 points. Verstappen, the championship leader, extends his championship lead by picking up 2 points for second place. On song today, Bottas. In tune today, Max Verstappen. Top hit for Lewis Hamilton as Sainz finishes third, Perez fourth, and that is a mega sprint drive from Lewis Hamilton to come home in fifth place. And we're ready, and we are set for the Sao Paulo Grand Prix. It's round 19, it's lights out, and away we go. Bottas gets away well ahead of Verstappen, but Verstappen is coming back at him, and Lando Norris touches, and he's got a puncture on his rear left tyre as he clashed with a Ferrari. Verstappen takes the lead. He squeezed out Valtteri Bottas going through turn two. Perez is in third, then comes the Ferrari of Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc as we head down the Retta Aposta now, and he's getting a decent slipstream. It's Charles Leclerc, but he's been forced over to the left-hand side as Verstappen leads from Bottas, from Perez, Leclerc, and then Sainz, and the Bottas two Ferraris going wide, and Bottas as well.
Bottas wide. It's a Red Bull 1-2 there. So down into the tricky braking zone. It's downhill into turn four, and Valtteri Bottas defending hard, but somehow they all made it through there. Sadly for Lando Norris, he's got the entire lap to go with a puncture.
Full throttle, full blast, all the way to turn one, and he is gaining in the slipstream of Carlos Sainz. Pulls over to the inside. Sainz isn't going to fight that one, and Hamilton, if he is to win this race in the space of two laps, has half the arrears that he needs to. Here comes Hamilton on Max Verstappen down towards turn one. Verstappen moved and cut out any possibility of an overtake down the inside.
Yeah, but Hamilton will get another helping of the DRS down this back straight. There it goes.
And crucially, Martini is closer than he was on the previous lap. And here goes Lewis Hamilton. He was last at the start of the sprint. He's trying to take the lead from Verstappen, but he is forced wide by Verstappen. And Verstappen himself has to go off the track. The battle resumed as they go into turn one. And Hamilton's gaining on Max Verstappen here. Couldn't pull the move off on Verstappen that he did on Lando Norris in the sprint yesterday. Norris didn't really fight that one, to be fair.
But he forced Max to go late into the corner, and he's got a better exit. Hamilton with a much better exit down to turn four.
I said it's the third time lucky. Hamilton pulls ahead of Verstappen before they get to the corner. The crowd go absolutely wild. It is third time lucky for Lewis Hamilton. He was 20th and last on the grid for the sprint here on lap 59 of the Grand Prix. He has gone from last all the way to first. What a drive this has been from Lewis Hamilton this weekend. Lewis Hamilton now has the checkered flag in sight for his 101st win. Hamilton, against the odds, has come home to win the Sao Paulo Grand Prix. What a victory for Lewis Hamilton. He's not ready to loosen his grip on that championship trophy. Not just yet.
This is the Outlap F1 Podcast, featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna. Your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap!
Welcome to Season 3, Episode 51 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. This is the Brazilian Grand Prix Race Review. I am your host, James, along with my wonderful co-hosts, Andy and Deanna. John is out for the night, but he will be back soon. Andy, how you feeling, buddy? It's a rough one for you, pal.
It's been a bit of a rough weekend from a sporting sense, but hey, I mean, this was an awesome race. The championship is back on. So I can't leave unsatisfied from it. I mean, my personal interests are a little dashed, and I probably have to do a bit of tipping of the cap at this point to the boys in red. They've executed quite well the last two race weekends.
Unsurprising, but a disappointingly rational response from Andy. Come to expect that now. You're not as easy to rile up as our other co-hosts, unfortunately. Deanna, how you doing today?
I am fantastic. It's been a long day, but here we are.
Been a long weekend.
Yes. Oh, yes, it has. But it was fun all around. I enjoy it. I love Interlagos. Happy to be back. It's a great time.
With your whole new setup and everything.
Ew, that was not fun, but yeah. Never again.
Shout out Ace Hardware. What is it?
Yeah. Deanna and I are trying to win the competition as to how many wires one can each have on their floor and still walk.
It's borderline unacceptable right now. Like, I'm going to trip and fall to my death, knowing me. So, can't wait.
Yep. With your past, I am now a little bit worried. But
yeah, you should be.
Fingers crossed you'll be okay. All right, so before we get into the race, I got to remind everybody you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and YouTube at Outlap F1 Podcast. You can also check out our link tree on our Twitter profile page. You can email the show at chatnow@outlapf1.com. And, of course, you can also visit our awesome website at www.outlapf1.com, where you'll find all sorts of awesome things like all of our episodes and all of our most recent tweets. Speaking of episodes, you can find F1 for Beginners on Season 3, Episode 6, where we'll break down basically how F1 works from soup to nuts, every team, most circuits. So make sure you check that out, especially if you're a new fan, as we get ready for the last three races of what is becoming an epic season, or I shouldn't even say becoming, what's been an epic season, basically, from race one.
Still here. Yeah,
it just keeps getting better and better. And then also on our site, you can find our About Us page, and you can find old episodes like the Sabre Cook interviews from Season 2, Episode 2, and Season 3, Episode 21. And, of course, if you're going to your first race next year, check out our COTA Experience and Global Motorsports Survey episode on Season 3, Episode 47. For more awesome F1 content, make sure you check out Relapped with Deanna, which will have a Brazil reaction. Is it up now or up soon?
It is. It's up now.
It is up now. So as soon as you're done with this episode, make sure you go check that out. And Andy, Outlap F1 Nation continues to step up. How are we doing there?
Well, we continue to love it, and we still want everybody to get their names on that sign in Zandvoort. I want Fernando Alonso going wide at turn 3 and running over your name. So if you'd like to join the Outlap F1 Nation, please do check out our link in the show notes. You've seen, you know, if you've been a longtime listener, I hope you've seen and heard the improvements we tried to make to the show. We put all the money that we do get back into the show, try to make it better, more entertaining. I love coming up with different ideas for sound. It's just, I think I found my second calling in life. So anything you want to do, please feel free to support us. We enjoy doing it very much.
That's right. And you can also help out the show by going to manscaped.com using code OUTLAP, that's OUTLAP, all one word, to get 20% off and free shipping. All your manscaping needs. Christmas is dangerously close at this point. Great stocking stuffers available through Manscaped. So make sure you check them out. All right. Now that that's all over with, we can move into our headlines of the day. And for that, Andy, why don't you kick us off?
Well, I will start with Obrigado, Brazil, because this race was awesome. But here's my real headline. If you're going to try to come and kill the king, you best not miss. Red Bull, I think, tried to do everything they could to slam the door on this championship, and Lewis just said, it's not happening. Championship back on, the last three are going to be epic.
Yes, they will. Deanna, you want to read John's for us and then give us your own?
Sure. Looking at the career stats of the greatest motorcycle rider ever and the greatest Formula One racer ever, it is mind-blowing to see how much level these two legends are. One sir and one doctor, truly in a league of their own.
Very nice. And then what do you got for us?
Just title battle back on. Same thing, similar to Andy. I think there's been a few moments this season where it feels like Red Bull's about to just walk away with it. Mm-hmm. And especially after Mexico and Max finishing, what, like 20 seconds up the road? I don't even remember anymore. I think that's wrong. But like miles ahead. And it just looked like, especially with Brazil being somewhat higher elevation, I thought they were going to walk away with it again this weekend. And that was not the case at all. So just to see Lewis come back and literally get stuck at the back of the grid, getting disqualified from qualifying, then getting another 5-place grid penalty, and literally any obstacle he could have faced, he faced it probably for this race and still won and still is closing that gap to Verstappen. So I can't wait for the last few races here.
That's true. We have an awesome battle at the top. My headline focuses on the other battle that's shaping up here at the end of the season. Andy, if Lando Norris hears a knocking, that's Charles Leclerc. We're only 3 points back now, Andy, with three races to go. I think the Ferrari-McLaren battle might be out of reach. I don't want to say that. Knock on wood. So I probably just jinxed him. But Charles Leclerc is in there for fifth.
McLaren need help. They need some sort of a retirement at this point if that battle is going to come back into the fray. Relative pace, they were closer. They were closer this weekend than they have been definitely in the last couple. I thought Ferrari's had a huge, or not huge, but marked pace advantage. This weekend was closer, so that makes me feel a little bit better, but it may be too little too late because their point advantage in the constructors seems pretty much out of reach. The Norris versus Leclerc battle will get interesting, and it's going to come down to who can not qualify who. I think that's the prescription for how that's going to shake out at the end of the day.
Yes, sir. And, I guess we'll get more into Daniel Ricciardo's retirement later in the conversation. But before we get into all that, why don't you give us your qualifying recap for qualifying that was on Friday?
Yes. So we had qualifying, because this is a sprint race weekend, on a Friday. Not classified. We will talk about this in a minute. Was Lewis Hamilton. So it is like he did not participate in the qualifying session. So P19, therefore, becomes Nikita Mazepin. P18, Mick Schumacher. P17, George Russell. And P16, Nicholas Latifi. Advancing to Q2, but going no farther in P15 was Lance Stroll. P14, Antonio Giovinazzi. P13, Kimi Räikkönen. P12, Yuki Tsunoda. And in P11, Sebastian Vettel. The top 10 from 10 to 1 in P10 was Esteban Ocon. P9, Fernando Alonso. P8, Daniel Ricciardo. P7, Lando Norris. P6, Charles Leclerc. P5, Carlos Sainz. P4, Pierre Gasly. P3, Sergio Checo Perez. P2, Valtteri Bottas. And in P1, with a lap time of 108.372, was Max Verstappen.
Thank you, Andy. So I don't know if I'm technically correct by saying this, but I will remember this qualifying session as the time Mazepin out-qualified Lewis Hamilton. Because on the sheet, it appears that way, so I'm cool with it. Except for the whole thing about losing a point
to the other person. Technically, he's not even there. I mean, really, it's not classified. He's really not even on the listing.
Hey, it's kind of like your best ability is availability, and apparently he wasn't available. Mazepin beat him. Like, I don't know what else to say.
And it brought Nikita to tears, apparently, after the qualifying.
I forgot about that.
Eventful week for that kid. So let's get into the meat and potatoes of what qualifying was. Not so much during qualifying, but after qualifying.
All 19 hours later.
Yeah.
So, Deanna, why don't you run us through a little bit what happened, and then we'll go back and forth on it, I'm sure.
Okay. All right. Let's see what I can remember. So, all started with Hamilton failed, and this was a technical breach of the regulation. So, there was a failure on his front wing. So, it was opening up too wide. It ended up just being 0.2 millimeters too wide. But then, this video came out that showed Max touching Lewis's, well, he's touching his rear wing, and then went over and looked at Lewis's and touched his car. And that caused the whole big stir. So stewards looked at this as a breach of the sporting code, breaking Park Ferme by touching his car. The actual specific rule says only the officials assigned may enter. No operation, checking, tuning, or repairs allowed unless authorized by the same officials or by the applicable regulations. So that's technically what his offense was for. So in the end, Lewis did get the penalty. It's a breach of the technical code, very cut and dry, even if it is such a fine margin. So he was disqualified from qualifying, forced to start from the back. Max, on the other hand, received a $50,000 fine, and I can read a little bit of what they said if you would like.
Please do.
Okay. Might take a minute. Hold on. So, clear high-definition video from the rear-facing roll hoop camera on car 44 shows that there is absolutely no movement of any wing elements on car 44 when Verstappen touches the back wing, and the stewards are satisfied from watching all videos. It is clear to the stewards that it has become a habit of the drivers to touch cars after qualifying and the races. This general tendency has been seen as mostly harmless and so has not been uniformly policed. Considering that fact that no direct harm was caused in this case in the opinion of the stewards and that no earlier precedent of penalties for this exists on the one hand, but that is a breach of regulations and has potential for serious consequences on the other end. So he was slapped with the $50,000 fine. That was kind of cut out of some of it, cut out of that directive from them. So I think this is something that probably was definitely the right outcome. I mean, if you can see from the videos that, that nothing actually happened, it would take a lot of force for him to do anything to that rear wing. But that is definitely behavior that should be discouraged. And it wouldn't be a surprise for me in the future that those rules change and there's more explicit penalties outlined in the future.
Well done.
So Deanna, do you think the cars will get a bodyguard now?
They're not allowed on the grid. So, nope.
Andy, we all know rule number one is you never touch another man's car. So what's your take on the whole situation? Did the punishment fit the crime?
So, okay, just to back up, we really have two separate rule books that we're talking about. One where they have very clear set consequences for breaking them, and then the other one where it's really up to the stewards that are there. If you're talking about technical regulations, car legal, car illegal, it's really, really cut and dry. I mean, the Autosport article says Mercedes admitted that it failed the test by 0.2 millimeters. That's nothing. So, yeah, it's literally nothing. But there's no other option for the stewards in that case. They had to kick him out. They did the test. I think it said they did it four times, once in the presence of a Mercedes representative so that he could watch the FIA do it, and it failed each time. So it wasn't anything intentional, but that's the result that we have to get. As far as Verstappen goes, now he's breaking the sporting regulations, which are, you know, like I said, it ends up in the hands of the stewards. He basically gets the, you know, that 70s show of equivalent of dumbass, don't do that again.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he deserves.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was like, I looked at the video and I'm like, you're an idiot. Why are you touching the car? Why would you even try that? But that's the right thing. Like, I figured he might get off with a reprimand. He certainly wasn't going to get a grid drop for that. He didn't cause any damage. They all agreed. The reason it took so long, and Deanna can attest to this, because rendering video takes forever. And that's why they didn't just want to look at the one view from the amateur camera that was on Twitter all over the place. They wanted to look at and download all the video from Lewis's different onboards that weren't necessarily even available on F1 TV at the time. So that's why they finally found the right angle. Sky did the net on the Saturday show before the second practice, showed some of the different angles, and Max doesn't touch it. I mean, well, he touches it, but he doesn't damage anything. He doesn't hurt anything. It's the right result.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Clear breach of the rules in both instances. And I think $50,000, you know, it's enough of a fine to make drivers realize they shouldn't do that anymore, but it's not so much that it's going to like hamper Max Verstappen's future in any way. So I think it's an okay scenario. And really, at the end of the day, it was a win because it gave us probably the most exciting sprint session we've had so far, thanks to Lewis Hamilton starting from the back. So, Deanna, why don't you run us through the sprint qualifying session or race?
Yes. So sprint race. I'm not calling it qualifying. It's a sprint race. Anyway, kind of running through the finishing order here. So in P20, we have Mazepin returning to his normal spot after the race started. Schumacher was in 19th, Raikkonen 18th, then Russell, Latifi, Tsunoda, Stroll, Giovinazzi, Alonso, Ricciardo, and then Vettel P10, Ocon P9, Gasly P8, didn't have a great start and lost out in a couple of places, and then again lost out to Hamilton a bit later. Leclerc P7, Norris P6, I think he had a pretty good got past a couple people at the beginning there. Hamilton, though, with the one of the most impressive drives I've ever seen, to in 24 laps go from P20 to P5, and was only within almost a second of Perez in P4 by the end. So just one of the all-time greatest drives, statistically the greatest recovery drive in history based on number of laps ran. So in P4 was Perez. He couldn't quite catch up to Sainz, who had probably the second most impressive drive there on the opening lap, got past both Red Bulls and Gasly. was eventually overtaken by Verstappen, but held up Perez for the rest of the race. And then we have Verstappen P2. He did get within a second of Bottas a few times, but never could really make a push for to take the lead at the end. So then we have Bottas winning the sprint race, not pole, winning the sprint race.
Very good. So, all right, my take on the Lewis thing was, coming into it, I was excited. If you've ever listened to the show before or know me at all, you know I am not the Lewis fan on this podcast. However, I'm not a total idiot, at least not all of the time. And when I know Lewis is starting at the back of the grid, I get excited because I know I'm going to see something awesome. In the same way, if I'm flipping through the channels on a Sunday and Green Bay is down 6 and Aaron Rodgers is about to drive a 2-minute drill, like, I'm going to watch it because he's really freaking good. I don't like him, but I like, you know, seeing the best athletes perform at their best. And that's what we got today in the sprint, or I'm sorry, yesterday in the sprint qualifying session. And it was awesome. Andy, can you compare that to anything you've seen before? Or was that one of the best drives you've seen?
I think this is the other gear. For anybody who's wondering, I've been clamoring for it. When was finally Lewis going to unleash the Kraken? The Kraken has been unleashed. This was, get this stat. He makes up 15 places in 24 laps. That is 0.625 overtakes per lap in this aero package that apparently you need DRS to overtake. Mm-hmm. Not so, says Lewis Hamilton. He was putting in moves all over the place. Now, he also benefited from the fact that everybody else was really just kind of trying to keep their own positions after lap one, and he was really the only one with nothing to lose. But that's what made it so great, because he finally had nothing to lose, and he let it all hang out. And actually, the move on Norris, I didn't see that one coming. I thought Lando had enough on it, and I'm like, oh, snap, there it was. And Lando lets him go, as he should have.
Yeah.
Because you weren't going to – why bother getting in the way of that? Because he was just on a complete other level.
I have never been a proponent for reverse grid races, but something about that made me – let's try it. Maybe just for doing these races. We'll see what happens. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I really thoroughly enjoyed that. But again, you didn't have Hamilton in that place. I think it was a battle on par with the other sprint races.
Yep.
But
And that's a good point to not let this overshadow the whole deal. It's like, without that, it would have just been another.
Correct.
Nothing, I think.
Other than a couple of movers and some comers and some goers, other than the Hamilton really shaking it up, I mean, Gasly loses, Norris gains a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Alonso actually lost out, which is the first time that we said that about him in the sprint. Ricciardo was probably the big loser of the day, going, I think, from 8th to 11th. But other than that, it was kind of very much a ho-hum sprint, other than Lewis just slicing through the field.
Yeah, and that was enough to carry the day, I thought. I thoroughly enjoyed my viewing of that, for sure. Okay, let's go ahead and move into the race on Sunday. And for that, we talk about the back markers first. I'll give it to you, Deanna, first. If there's anybody back here you'd like to discuss. I know there's let's so many see. Good options.
Stroll retired with damage. Ricciardo, loss of power, which is kind of worrying for
Could
Mercedes.
Be a thing.
Schumacher finishing. Did he really finish behind Mazepin? Oh, I thought he got past him.
He did.
Okay.
This is actually Nikita Mazepin's career best finish in 2017.
Okay. is it really? With retirements and everything?
Well, on I think legit pace, I think this is his best.
Actually, there is something I want to talk about here, and I think it's Tsunoda getting a penalty versus Schumacher not getting a penalty for what seemed similar-ish incidents to me.
Sure.
Thoughts?
Oh, I mean, Tsunoda clearly ran into Stroll.
Yeah.
I mean, he did turn one incident, all the debris causes the safety car that came out. It caused stuff later on. So his race was super compromised after that. Trying to recover with damage is never easy. So that was really the end of the day for the AlphaTauri driver. The Schumacher one, I didn't see it directly. All I know is he ended up with a lot of front wing damage, and there's the shot of the Haas mechanic taking the damaged wing and tossing it off to the side. If that doesn't put Haas's year kind of right on display for you, I really don't know what does. I actually didn't see it, so I don't know why he would have gotten a penalty, but I don't know who he hit.
He hit Raikkonen. I should have gone back to watch this on board, but I didn't. But I think he kind of lost control of the car going into turn one. So it was in a similar place as Tsunoda did. So it just seemed a little strange to me that he didn't get one. But anywho, that's the only thing I think of note for anybody P13 and below.
Yeah, the Tsunoda. I agreed with the Tsunoda penalty just because that was a huge gift to both Hamilton and Lando at that point to get that safety car where they did. So I think without that, I don't know if Lando would have scored a point.
Yeah, it was strange to me, though, how long it took them to call the Tsunoda, the safety car for the damage for Tsunoda, because there was
they went almost twice around before they called it.
It's very weird.
And that was very strange.
Yeah.
And, I'll just touch really briefly on Ricciardo. What could have been, you don't know. I mean, he actually got pretty lucky with the virtual safety car, ended up, only losing one position with that pit stop. So he got a cheap free pit stop from that. It was going to set up to where he was going to be in front of the Ferraris. Ferrari were going to have much better tires, probably better pace. Could he have defended? I don't know. But we never got a chance to see it, obviously, because of the power failure. And then all of a sudden he just starts falling down the grid. And I'm like, oh, why did they pit him again? And then wait, he's got to be retiring, right? They didn't show it until it was long overdone. But power loss. Kind of, Mercedes power car. Another one that we got to worry about, is that gremlin going to rear its ugly head, not only for McLaren, but possibly for Mercedes later down the line too.
Especially if they actually did turn up that engine for this weekend in a, maybe not total desperation, but in a move to try and get back at Red Bull.
The one thing I was surprised though, just kidding. I figured it out in my head as I was starting to talk. Continue.
Very, very impressive. Let's move up to the midfield here, Andy, and I'll give you the first shot at the midfield. Where you want to go with this one? Don't steal mine either. Don't do it.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to steal yours. Well, I mean, we could talk about Lando. We could talk actually about the Alpine and the AlphaTauri fight, where it actually ends up. They end up tied in terms on points. Alonso and Ocon completely cancel out the decent result by Pierre Gasly in seventh. Lando's race, starting in P5, went on the outside, tried to get around Carlos Sainz. It obviously did not work. Sainz clips him, punctures Lando's tire. How Sainz actually didn't end up with a puncture himself was actually ridiculously lucky for him, because they knew there was shots. The Pirelli stripe was gone off of Sainz's tire, so it was significant contact between the two of them. No investigation, and I didn't think it was worthy of a penalty on the part of Sainz. It's a first lap incident. That's Lando's going for a gap. He got bit by it, and he does get bailed out by the safety car and did some nice overtaking late to eventually come home and at least get a point.
Once again, Andy, how very rational of a response from you. I appreciate it. I was feeling the same way about it. So first, I was like, "Oh, Andy's gonna be upset," but I'm like, I don't really see any fault there. So
yeah,
fair play.
No, I had a good expletive, and that was about the only reaction that I was the whole rest of the race, other than the stuff at the front.
No hat thrown?
No, I didn't throw it. I set it down next to me, so I didn't throw it.
So I want to talk about something real quick. I don't know if either one of you guys know, but do you happen to know what my favorite bourbon is?
I don't know, but I think we're going to find out.
Well, simply, it's the one I don't pay for. And that's, coming. And that's coming very, very soon. Because I think it is officially over. Sebastian Vettel has finished well behind Charles Leclerc. I think he's about 106 points behind right now. 104, 106, I think it is. What a terrible, terrible
He did not bet. Win. He did not get fastest lap in Leclerc. So that was the end of that.
Yeah. So just a overall disappointing season, I'd say, for Vettel and for Aston Martin, and especially for John. And that warms my cold dead heart just a little bit. But I'll talk a little bit about Ferrari. Couldn't be, I don't know if I could have been more happy about the way the day turned out for them. At the beginning of the race, when Lando went off and looked like he was going to be in quite a bit of trouble, and you know, once I saw that Sainz was okay, I realized that I was going to have a really good shot at Leclerc, gaining a lot of ground on Lando, which he did. He's only 3 points back now for fifth in the championship, so I'm excited about that. And now Ferrari, I think, what is it, 31 points? They're up on McLaren now, and the Constructors with just an awesome finish, 5-6. I mean, Sainz had a terrible, terrible start today after having an awesome start in the sprint race. So I know in his after-the-race quotes, he was talking about they need to look into what happened there because he says he did everything exactly the same. So that'll be something to take a look at. But that was disappointing, but Charles made up for it. He pulled in the fifth, and, I mean, they just kind of ran their race. Everything kind of worked out for them exactly as they wanted. They weren't going to hold up Lewis Hamilton. Of course, part of me was like, just hold them up for a little bit. But realistically, that was never going to happen. That's not their race. Their race was just to finish ahead of McLaren. And they did that and felt pretty good today.
Yeah, you should be. I mean, they've in the last two races, they have out-executed their rivals for P3 very, very well. So like I said, I tip my cap, sir.
Good things. Hopefully, and I did see one comment somewhere on Twitter about their hope was that maybe this means McLaren just started really focusing on next year. And maybe that's the case. And they come out swinging against Ferrari next year. Obviously, I hope that Ferrari has been doing a little bit of both. But maybe that's
If you want to start doing a bit of the post-mortem, because I do think that McLaren needs help. I mean, they no longer can control their own destiny. They can't just race them way back into that. The fact of the matter is Ferrari were able to develop the car because McLaren had to spend engine tokens getting the Mercedes chassis to jive with it.
True.
Now, it ended up working. They've won a race this year, so that was positive, but that's the cost of that, is they weren't able to keep the development race, and I think Ferrari has done well. Their engine upgrade has worked. It's been reliable. They haven't put a foot wrong since Russia, really.
Yeah, things are definitely trending up. Deanna, anything on Sergio Perez?
Yeah, let's see. What did Perez do today? So I think, the best thing he did was get past Bottas on the first lap, although I don't know if you want to attribute that more to him or more to Bottas. Yeah, he did a great job, I think, holding on for as long as he did. He had a really fun battle, kind of going back and forth with Hamilton. Unfortunately, he lost out to Bottas and couldn't really defend that spot because Bottas got lucky with the VSC. So after that, he just stuck about pretty much consistently 4 seconds behind Bottas, could never really close that gap, and then was pitted at the end and got fastest lap. So at least took that away from Mercedes. So did about all he could do, I think, today.
Yeah, I was hoping he was going to be able to finish ahead of Bottas, but I mean, that was a well-timed pit stop during that VSC for Mercedes there. That wasn't the day for that, but I was glad he did steal that fastest lap away, which may end up being a really big deal as we finish up with the last three races. All right, so that's it for the midfield. We're going to take a quick break here from one of our favorite sponsors, and we'll be back to talk about the podium and then get into some fan emails.
Attention listeners from across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do you have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like they're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code OUTLAP. That's OUTLAP, one word, 20% off free shipping. Let's get back to it.
Welcome back to Season 3, Episode 51 of the OUTLAP F1 Podcast. This is the Brazilian Grand Prix Race Review. I am your host, James, along with Andy and Deanna. John has the night off tonight. Quick reminder before we get up to the podium, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and YouTube at Outlap F1 Podcast. You can check out our link tree on our Twitter profile. You can email the show at chatnow@outlapf1.com. And of course, you can check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. All right, let's move into the podium where we find Valtteri Bottas on the bottom step. And then with Max Verstappen in second and Lewis Hamilton in first. Andy, another really good drive by Lewis Hamilton, back-to-back days. What do you think of his performance today?
As I've said before, I thought this was the Kraken unleashed. I mean, he was not going to be denied. When he does finally meet his championship rival in Max Verstappen, it takes two or three different attempts at it, but he eventually did make the move stick. We can talk about Max in a minute and whether or not he should have been penalized for some of his creative defending and all of that. But there was no stopping him. Once he got clear of that, there was not going to be any chance that he was going to get caught. This is that other gear. If he can keep this up and he can continue at that level, it's going to get really, really tight coming back down into the final couple races of this season. Mm-hmm. But sublime drive. I don't know if it was the Senna stuff or inspired by the crowd, whatever it was, something flipped the switch in that dude's head today, and he brought it, and he brought it big time.
Yep. Deanna, anything to say about Lewis's drive before we get into the Max stuff?
Just fantastic all around. I mean, I don't think he did one thing wrong this entire weekend.
Yeah, it was definitely a Lewis weekend. It had that feel going into it. And
other than take his seatbelt off on the line, that's...
We'll sweep that under the rug.
Other than that.
Yeah. It's all good. So yeah, we can get into the Verstappen stuff now. You know, you guys said everything we need to say about Lewis Hamilton. Awesome drive. I mean, just unreal weekend. So Verstappen, there was a little bit of a battle after Lewis caught up to him. It was clean at first, and then things got a little sketchy. So why don't you lead us through that discussion, Andy? What'd you think of the move? I guess we can call it.
So just to set the scene, this is coming now out of the Senna S's and into the second DRS zone. Lewis had taken a very interesting line where he went kind of wide and Max was defending on the inside and he kind of had to cut his line short and therefore was, you know, kind of low on momentum. And Lewis is in the DRS and he's coming up. I think they're going into turn four. Max jinks way over to the right and effectively guides Lewis off the track and goes off the track himself. So that was the incident. I think all the pundits on the broadcast instantly thought that's a penalty. Mm-hmm. I saw it and I thought, yeah, I think that's a penalty. If we're going to have some of these incidents where we, you know, I think back to Norris versus Perez in Austria, same almost exact situation. Norris literally just guided Sergio off the track and Perez comes on the radio and goes, he pushed me off. And we knew we were going to hear all the radio and we knew we were going to get the transmissions to Michael Massey and both sides were going to sound equally as aggrieved and, you know, as they were. But yeah, I actually thought that was a bit over the line. Max should have, Lewis established enough of his position, unlike a lot of overtaking moves where he's only halfway there. He'd actually got his nose actually slightly in front going into that corner. So I think he deserved the space. I think Max didn't give it to him. I thought it should have been a penalty.
Where do you stand on that, Deanna?
Yeah, I think I'm there with you. I would not have been surprised if that did result in a penalty. Again, we apparently thought we had some precedent to that, like in Austria. But it's just, yet again, the steward stays pretty inconsistent. So not something I'm used to. It wasn't great. I still imagine we'll get it later this week, the actual onboard of the steering angle. I think that's really going to be kind of the damning thing here. If that truly was him running Lewis all the way off wide. From the helicopter shot, it didn't look like he made too much of an attempt to kind of turn in there. But yeah, I think once we get that angle, it'll be clear up a lot of things for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. I really want to see that video. They kind of teased us with it and then shot away to something else during the broadcast.
And who's that? Who's that director of that camera?
I had some grievances with some race direction this weekend. Specifically, the lap one replays, they haven't been too egregious this season, but both in the sprint and the race today, Hamilton was making overtakes and they missed them during the replays, which there's going to be, there were more lulls later. So just like, wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Show us what's happening on track.
Sometimes
bring it up later.
Sometimes important things happen on lap six.
Yeah.
And that's still when all the cars are close together. So just give it a minute.
Good point. They should definitely wait on that. As far as Verstappen, you know, when it happened, it felt just kind of like a cheap move by Verstappen. I didn't like it, and I would have been fine and accepted a five-second penalty there. Obviously, easier to say that I don't, like, live and breathe Max Verstappen. I do prefer him in this current race we have for the championship. But I mean, it was, I didn't like the move at all. It probably should have been a 5-second penalty, but I don't think that 5 seconds would have changed anything about the race. At that point, I had accepted his fate. I knew he wasn't going to beat Lewis today. It just wasn't in the cards. Lewis just, no, I don't think anybody was going to beat Lewis today. And then if he had a 5-second, he wasn't going to let Bottas get that close to him. So they should have just given him one. I would have been fine with it. And then hopefully we've gotten less complaints about the race or about the lack of penalty later on. But yeah, overall, cheap move. Not a fan. Bottas, pretty good drive today to really give Mercedes some nice cushioning in the Constructors Championship. Go ahead, Deanna.
So the one thing I want to bring up here, so Bottas came on the radio complaining, saying that he threw that Mercedes strategy threw away a 1-2. So I think he was looking for a one-stop. And I went back and looked. So the person that was most successful was Ocon and Alonso. So specifically Alonso, I took a look at. He came out on a 14.5, and then by the end was still doing a 14.5. However, Gasly did get past both him and Ocon pretty easily. But I would argue that Gasly was in the better car. Towards the end, Bottas was lapping a half a second all the way up to a full second faster than Verstappen. So I don't think I think he had an argument there. I think it could have been worth a shot. But granted, compared to Alonso, he was on 4 lap older hards, but I don't know. I think that would have been a possibility for sure had they left Bottas out.
Do you know how many laps were left when they made that decision? I don't remember what lap it was when they did that.
So they brought Bottas in for his second stop on lap 41.
Okay.
And Bottas had a strange little strategy as well because his first pit stop was after Hamilton's and his second pit stop was before Hamilton's second pit stop. So he's only on that first set of hards for about 11 laps. But that was, again, they brought him in early because of the VSC, I think.
Yeah.
I think he got lucky there.
Yeah.
Maybe that was his first pit stop. It's all blended together now. I think it was his first pit stop. He got lucky. It was just kind of strange strategy call from Mercedes. They could have tried it. I don't think he would have ended up worse than where he was. I mean, I understand it's still coming in third was probably about what you would expect.
Yeah, I think they made the safe call there because it's like I'm sure they're confident that Lewis is going to get the win. He had the pace. And then it was really about making sure they stayed in front of Perez. When they had the chance, they did it. And I think it worked out. I mean, they added places or added points between them in the Constructors' Championship.
Oh, yeah, no. So. In terms of that, they opened up. It's not a chasm, but it's a nice gap.
Yeah.
Moving in forward in the Constructors.
Yeah. Might need a reliability issue out of Bottas to tighten that back up in the next race.
It's Mercedes engine.
It's nice to hear. All right. So that wraps up the podium discussion. So we'll move into the recap of the driver standings. John's not here tonight, so I will do that. We got Max Verstappen with 332.5 points in first place. Behind him, we have Lewis Hamilton with 318.5. I'm so glad we went back to the normal way of doing these points on here. Last week was confusing. Third place, we have Bottas with 203. Perez in fourth with 178. So those two positions are more or less locked in. Then we have Lando Norris in fifth place with 151, and Charles Leclerc now just 3 points behind with three races to go in sixth place. Then Sainz behind him with 139.5, Ricciardo with 105 and 8, and Gasly has 92 in ninth place, and Fernando Alonso in 10th place with 62 points. Andy, why don't you break down the Constructors' Championship for us?
So our updated constructor standings are as follows. In first place is Mercedes on 521.5 points. Second is Red Bull on 510.5. Third is Ferrari on 287. Fourth is McLaren on 256. Fifth and sixth are actually tied with Alpine and AlphaTauri each on 112. But as of right now, Alpine maintains fifth position because of the Ocon win in Hungary. In seventh position, we have Aston Martin in 68. Eighth is Williams on 23. Ninth is Alfa Romeo on 11. And in 10th place, no change here. Haas F1, 0 points.
For shame, for shame. All right, let's move into our fan email segment. Thank you to everybody that emailed the show. We always appreciate hearing from all of you. So, Deanna, why don't you kick us off there?
Yeah, so starting with Rachel Fleming, she says, firstly, credit where credit is due. Hamilton, personally, I thought Max was going to take him out, but no, Hamilton got the win, and a very well-deserved win. But I do need to mention Antonio Giovinazzi. Kimi started in the pit lane and finished 12th. Giovinazzi started 13th and finished 14th behind Russell as well. He has 1 point compared to Kimi's 10. My point is this. Did Alpha make a mistake in keeping Gio for the season instead of getting someone like Callum Ilott? Because Gio hasn't really done anything of note either this season or in 2019/2020 and is about to be sacked correctly. I'll start with this one. I do think Ilott should be in that seat. I think we kind of knew what Giovinazzi was. I don't think he's bad per se, but I think he was a known quantity, whereas Ilott, that could have been the next great driver, and you should have just, they should have stuck him in the car for this year just to see what happened, even if he would unfortunately get replaced with Zhou or somebody like that. But I think it should be Ilott.
Andy, how much of this do you think is the fact that Ferrari maybe makes the call on that seat coming into this year and wanting, you know, an Italian driver on the grid and somebody that is a known quantity to Ferrari?
I think that's exactly what it is. I think that is Ferrari saying, we're your engine supplier. We have our technical partnership with you. You have to therefore do us this favor. It's commonplace in Formula One. This is nothing new, that sometimes the not as talented driver gets a seat over somebody who may be appearing to be more talented. You know, I wish Callum Ilott nothing the best. I hope he has a great career. Unfortunately, this route for him seems to be, kind of closed off. We're not going to be, you're not going to see Antonio Giovinazzi in the seat next year. It certainly looks like, because, we've seen the leaked images, and I heard also today in Ted Kravitz's notebook, expect an announcement, Graham Mugeot, to get that seat at Alfa Romeo next year.
Yeah, sorry. So next, photo_GT97 says, question for Andy. Did Lewis find that extra gear you were talking about?
Yes. Yes, he did. That's it. In case you were wondering, watch the sprint race. 0.625 overtakes per lap. That's the next gear.
Absolutely. Next up, Christopher Gestle. His name. Sorry. G. says that this was a wonderful. And I think we all agree.
I agree.
Fantastic. Next, Christine asks, why have Red Bull Racing been allowed to replace or repair their rear wing for the third consecutive race under Parc Fermé, but Hamilton was disqualified for an issue that the FIA themselves admit was not deliberate and caused by a problem or fault on a legal part?
Before we give this to Andy to answer, because I'm pretty sure that's where it'll go, does anybody else think Christine is John's burner account? Christine, if you exist, I need you to DM the show.
I ain't touching this.
Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah.
So, okay. So again, this comes back to technical regulations versus sporting regulations and the little rule book with the big consequences and the big rule book with the sometimes little consequences. The fact of the matter is Red Bull have to ask the FIA for permission to change like for like. It is overseen every time they do it. Now, why these wings keep failing for Red Bull? Great question. I don't know. I don't think they know exactly. It clearly is not something that they want to have happen. The Lewis thing is, it's really simple. The little ball thing goes through the DRS. If it's unable to go through, it's too wide. If it's not, and I guess it's like 10 newtons. I had to go research what the heck a newton was this weekend. of force, more than that. And if it fails the test, it fails the test. We have certain rules, and we can talk about all we want about how the rules get set. But the fact of the matter is Mercedes have had the bulk of the power in Formula One for the last 10 years. If either they weren't paying attention to it, or people were just stamping these things and not thinking about the bigger implications, this is what can happen when you don't dot your I's and cross your T's.
Yeah, but I think from here, gloves are going to kind of come off, especially from Mercedes. And if anything like that happens again, they will definitely protest, and this will kind of go down that route.
Well, and we haven't even talked about why this even really started. Now, granted, this was an FIA thing, but Red Bull have gone an hour before qualifying. They went into the FIA's office and were thinking about protesting the wing the rear wing because of the flexi wing thing. Remember that whole saga earlier in the year? Well, Red Bull are contending that Mercedes are doing the same thing that they were doing. And so if you had to kick us out, why aren't you kicking them out when, you know, it's 0.4 seconds down the straight? Well,
yeah.
So it's all like this. And it goes back to my headline. You come at the king, you best not miss. They tried and they missed. I'm sorry, Red Bull, it didn't work.
Yep. Good old politics of F1. It's always fun. Okay. So our final fan email is from Matt Polanski from the Red Sector MotoGP podcast. And he says, today's race is called I Came In at Lap 40. What's happened? I am at it again, completely forgetting to check the race time. The race had everything. Lewis and Max almost colliding, drivers questioning strategies, foul mouth Yuki, and SoCasm. SoCasm is that thing where the F1 circus keeps being overly sarcastic and Sao Paulo, builds on the back of a 25-place grid penalty. Lewis, I don't know. These jokes are hard.
Running out of steam here at the end of the season.
We're all go
check out Matt's Red Sector stuff. The MotoGP season ended. I'm sure they have a great thing, a tribute to another retiring athlete in Valentino Rossi. Thank you. Did not think of the name.
Abbott's skittly.
Yeah.
Coasting to the end of the season.
All right. Thank you to everybody that emailed the show. As always, keep them coming. We love to read them. All right. So let's talk weekly awards. And for that, we start with rubbish. And I think, Andy, we're going to start with you, and then we're going to let you read John's.
So mine is the waiting is the hardest part. Straight out of the song there, refreshing Twitter for approximately 18 hours. I didn't understand, like, even in the net, I get sending it to the next day. Rendering video is hard. I understand that. But why did you not have this resolved before that second practice? That kind of annoys me. You had more than enough time to make your decision. We shouldn't have been, I think, all kept waiting. Maybe that was a ploy to have people watch FP2 when that's the most relevant session of the weekend. I don't know.
That's a good point. All right, now do Jens.
All right. If you thought mine was spicy, get ready for this. John just comes out, and remember, emotions on the sleeve here. Fuck the FIA. Fuck backs for having zero regard for the rules and eradicate this sport. Touching another driver's car, regardless of the driver, is unacceptable and sets a dangerous precedent. Then a clear attempt to take Hamilton out in a blatant, dangerous move that is not even investigated is an absolute fucking joke.
Lewis passed 0.625 okay. guys a lap. I think that was 0.625 fucks a sentence.
Oh, it's a lot more than that.
Deanna, what do you got for rubbish?
Just the FIA stewards being the FIA stewards. Kind of inconsistent, taking 10 years to come to a decision. The huge.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue against the stewards getting it this week. I was going to try and make a case for Yuki Tsunoda. I just feel like he's not – it doesn't really seem like he's learning anything this year almost. All right, moving into the analysis paralysis award. I know I struggled thinking of one here. John has maybe Mercedes for Pit and Bottas. Might have been interesting to see if we could hold on to a P2. We talked about that a little bit ago, so we're kind of in the same boat. But Andy, could you come up with analysis paralysis today?
Just as a piling on the FIA for just sitting on that decision as long as they did. Like, I've never seen that. I've been watching races for like 20 some years. I've never seen a decision go into the next day where they just said, I'll go home. There's nothing else to see here. Come back tomorrow.
Yeah, I like that one. Deanna?
You know, let me just keep talking and we'll come to it. I was just kind of looking at this. I think Vettel didn't have the greatest day. He also was on used tires the entire day, according to Pirelli. So not sure what happened with their tire allocation over there. So maybe let's just say Aston Martin. He also finished out of the point. So good enough.
All right. I was going to try and make a case for Lando here for that attempted move at the beginning, but I think, Andy, you convinced me. I'm going to go and just copy off you. So appreciate it, pal. All right, let's talk dark horse of the day. For this, I kind of struggled with this one too, honestly, because I hate giving it to Ferrari. So I'm going to give it to Fernando Alonso from 12th to 9th. snuck in there and got a couple good points to the team. And now I believe Alpine and AlphaTauri continue to be locked in a tie. So, Deanna, who do you got for Dark Horse?
Just for the sprint race, but I'm going to go with Carlos Sainz. He outqualified Leclerc again, and then to get past both Red Bulls in that opening lap was awesome. And then again, to hold off Perez. So, good work from him.
A good one. Andy, who you got?
I am giving this to both Ferrari drivers, Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz, for being exactly where they really should be. And for, you know, they've stepped on the necks of McLaren, and rightly they should. And they opened the door for it. So good going, Ferrari. Well executed. Dark horse for me.
Is John's a typo, or do you think it's the same in both?
I think it's the same in both.
All right. Well, John, John gave his dark horse to Sir Lewis fucking Hamilton. So I guess the greatest driver of our lifetimes can still be a dark horse today, apparently. So, yes. Driver of the day, however, is a perfect award to give Lewis Hamilton. He got the people's driver of the day. He's got my driver of the day. And that's the last nice thing I'm going to say about Lewis Hamilton today. Andy, what about you?
Yeah, by not even a margin, Lewis Hamilton, driver of the day, sublime weekend. This is the next gear. Max Verstappen, if he can maintain this, better look out. And that's the question. Can the car keep up with the driver that is right now on form, Lewis Hamilton?
And I will be honest, when they started showing the voting results for driver of the day, I was really hoping Lewis wasn't going to get it because I was excited for the meltdown that would come from that. Oh, that would have been great. And I forgot to mention this earlier, but when Lewis Hamilton took the lead, the roar from that crowd was pretty wild. So the crowd was definitely on Lewis's side this weekend.
The funny part was they weren't chanting Lewis's name. They were chanting Senna's. At the end of the race, if you actually go to the podium, they were singing ole, ole, ole. They weren't chanting Lewis. They were chanting Senna.
Oh, boy.
So there was like fireworks that shot off right as Lewis overtook it. Yes. Apparently, according to somebody that commented on my video, so probably take this with a grain of salt. He said he was at the race and it was like people outside of the race shooting off their own personal fireworks. And
wow.
That's what it was.
Wow.
And same with the last lap, but then Brazil did their own. Very colorful, very beautiful fireworks display. And while we're here, Hamilton is my driver for that. Very obviously.
Yes. And no surprise, John has Sir Lewis fucking Hamilton for his driver of the day and his dark horse. So, very good. All right. So, to recap our race predictions, without John here, Andy, why don't you take that for us?
All right. I will do my best here. So, I am bringing up the rear this week. I only got 1 point. I only had Max Verstappen taking the qualifying pole. So, I get that for 1 point for that. James, you get 3-1 for the qualifying driver, Max Verstappen. You got the fastest overall lap time, and you got a bonus pick for Sebastian Vettel in 11th place.
Thanks, Seb.
John gets 2 points, one for the qualifying driver and one for the bonus pick. He had Nikita Mazepin in P17, so he gets a point for that. Deanna is the back-to-back. Well, you tied, but you are the back-to-back still defending winner. You had the qualifying time by the slimmest of margins. I actually have this up. You beat James by 0.007871 seconds. So all those decimal points
bullshit.
Have come to fruition. Yes.
And so I demand a recount.
Qualifying time, because Lewis's time got kicked out, Deanna gets that. But obviously the 1 point for the qualifying drivers, she had Max Verstappen, again with Lewis getting kicked out. And you got a bonus pick, Charles Leclerc coming home in P5. So the prop bet that we all debated in the preview, I hope we're all going to go with zero on this because I thought it was an all or nothing. It's either zero or the three of you, other than me, all get 1 point for Ferrari in third place.
Even though it would help me and move me up a position, it has to be zero because Alpine wins the tiebreaker without AlphaTauri.
Correct. Okay.
Yep. I agree.
So we are agreed. So we are at 0 points for that.
Before you continue, I do need to point out that this was all bullshit. Lewis Hamilton screwed me. As I was telling Andy earlier, just as I was starting to, like, I don't want to say root for him, but I was, like, pooling for him. He just has to go and get his qualifying lap, get disqualified. I should have been tied with you right now, Deanna, and instead you're still 3 points up, and it's bullshit. It's bullshit. Sorry, Andy,
James,
go ahead.
Will also be sending the protest to the FIA later tomorrow.
Yeah.
That protest will be filed tomorrow, and we will cover it all for you. So our prediction season standings. John is in P1 at 52, and it is now we are all in a dogfight for P2. Andy and Indiana are tied on 44 points. James is still 2 points behind with 42, but it is all tight. It is all to play for. Who comes down the last three races? And we have two wild cards, so Lord only knows what's going to happen as our prediction standings come down, just like the constructors and the drivers come down to the end.
Very good. Thank you, Andy. So that's about a good race recap, I'd say. Any final thoughts, Deanna?
I'm just looking at this thing on the agenda, and what does this mean?
We'll get to it.
Okay. I didn't know what I was supposed to know. Just great race. Had a great time. I love Interlagos. It's my favorite track. Good time.
All right. Andy, I know you know what it means, but I'll talk about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do know what it means. We go again. It's three in a row. We got one more. We are going now to Qatar, a racetrack we know nothing about from an F1 standpoint. So wild card, throwing our lap times at a dartboard. It's all going to be weird, but who comes out on top? Because there's all to play for, as we said. So this thing, it's not over by any stretch. Lewis has hit back. Can Max and Red Bull respond? Drama all over the place. It's amazing. This 2021 season refuses to let us go.
It is awesome. My final thought, we are BR. Especially those of you in the Chicagoland area might know that me and Andy did happen to go to the same high school at completely different times. Andy graduated
each other by 1 year.
Andy graduated before I even started, just to mention. But we went to Brother Rice, and they played longtime rival Mount Carmel this last Saturday in the playoffs. That's the latest in the playoffs they've ever played each other. Brother Rice, after a pretty bad start, came back in the second half and won. So now they'll be playing in the semifinals this weekend, I think, against Wheaton. I don't know if it's just Wheaton or Wheaton North, one of the two.
I think it's Wheaton North, yeah.
But we do have potential for the Saturday after Thanksgiving to have the Class 7A Championship, Brother Rice versus St. Rita. If that's the case, I will be there because that will be a pretty fun matchup. But
I do not think high school football is where we're going. I don't even know if I know anything about my high school. Not exist anymore, and I wouldn't know.
So, here's I would just to give you a bit of context. This is why he's excited about it as he is, because my freshman year we actually beat Mount Carmel for the first time in about 30 years of playing football, and yeah. I sit down, I know nothing about this rivalry, and we're up 7-0, and I'm all happy about that. I'm like, hey, we're up 7-0, and the one of the old fogies next to me, you know, elbows me and goes, what are you talking about? Don't you realize how important that is? We haven't scored a touchdown against these guys in 10 years. So that's the futility, why that's on there.
Yeah.
So good. It's a hell of a turnaround for a local program, but
yeah, it's Catholic League Chicago. It's old Catholic League Blue rivals. That's just how it's done on the South Side. They're both all boys high schools, among a few others. So, we get excited about it on the South Side. Different way of doing things, but it was a very big win. And two more would be a pretty epic year for Brother Rice. I don't know when the last time they won a state championship, but.
It's been a while. I mean, they got to the finals a couple years ago, and then they got shellacked.
Yeah, that was ugly. So, just something to look forward to for the Chicagoans that are listening right now. Besides that, I'm excited for the third round of the triple header to be over in a week's time. We put that to rest. My wife actually earlier today asked how many races were left in the season. I remind her I had it before tonight, so I think she's ready for her Sunday nights back. But I'm excited to see how this whole thing wraps up. Hopefully, the ending is as exciting as the beginning and the middle of the season have been, because it's been awesome. So we'll be here to bring it all to you. Expect to hear from us in a few days with the preview, where we will probably be way off on our lap times. we do not have a good history of guessing lap times at places that F1 hasn't been before.
No.
Go too often. So that should be interesting. Get the sound effects ready for that one. I think that's all we got tonight. So we'll talk to you soon. And Andy, send us off.
As always, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Outlap F1 Podcast.
or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you on the next one.